Blessings, friends. Look, we're going to wrap up this study in the book of Jonah. There's so many more principles that we can work through and look at and see. I think Jonah is so representative of where we are and where anybody can be throughout history and throughout time, and how God has solutions in life for us, and that He has our best interest at hand. And I can't help but just think about a few things that I would like to share with you before we move on to another book and another study as God leads and teaches and helps us. I just felt like this would be a great time to possibly introduce some of these teachings on some of the readings that we're doing in our Nesting with Jesus. But we have looked at Jonah and we have seen a couple things. Now, one that we want to look at, and remember, I'm just going to give you a few things I've jotted down through the years in my Bible that I keep notes in, is that running from the work of God only leads to destruction. Two, running from the wonder of God only leads to dysfunction. We see these things in Jonah's life. Running from the watchful eye of God only leads to a delusion. That's where Jonah found himself. Running from the word of God only leads to disappointment upon disappointment. And running from the will of God only leads to despair. Yet, righteousness from the work of God leads to deliverance. Righteousness from the wonder of God leads to delight. Righteousness from the watchful eye of God leads to direction. Righteousness from the word of God leads to dependence. And righteousness from the will of God leads to a life of dedication to the work and the will of God. A few eternal principles that I had jotted down and made note of that I didn't even get a chance to share with our folks at the chapel. We've talked about these things in days gone by, but these are what we see throughout the book of Jonah. God is no doubt the centrality of the book. He's mentioned in these brief four chapters over 38 times. And what do we find in these eternal principles? Number one, God delights and therefore desires to rescue the perishing. We don't want to miss that. God delights and desires to rescue the perishing. Number two, God will and does accomplish His purpose and pleasure. We can rejoice in that. That His work is not dependent on us. Even Jonah in his waywardness recognized, God, You are going to do what You're going to do. You don't need me to get it done. I don't want to do it. Send somebody else to do it. Because ultimately, God will accomplish His purpose and pleasure. Now, number three, God will do it with us or without us. And to Him be the glory, that His plan is not dependent upon me, it's not dependent upon you, it's not dependent upon us, but He invites us to join Him in His work. And that is worthy of celebrating. Number four, God decides when and where and how and who and what way He will use us and use His creation in our lives to prepare us to go for His namesake. Number five, God will use us even when we have no joy in being used. This was Jonah. He can use us and will use us even when we have no joy in being used. Now, the sad thing is there's no reward for that. Scripture says that he that seeks God must believe that He is God and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. There is no such thing as accidental obedience. Faith comes from the news of God, a report from God. We hear the report, we believe the report, we act on that report, and that report comes from the Lord. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. So every act of genuine, authentic faith is always intentional because it's always purposeful. We heard, we believed, we agreed, and we acted on what we heard and seen and believed. So we want to be rewarded that He receives the glory for what is going on in our life. Number six, God desires justice and joy and justification. The only reason you and I could even be included in the work of God is because God justly dealt with our sin, that we can joyfully and justifiably walk and live and serve Him because our sin was paid in full. We didn't have to pay for it. It was paid for by Jesus. And therefore, His righteous life has been accredited to us. Now, if I'm not covered in His righteousness, if I don't look like Jesus, if I haven't received His mercy in this life, when I stand before Him in the hereafter with no mercy, I will have no righteousness. I will be accountable for my own sin, and that is not going to fare out. I'll be separated. I'll be declared unclean and unrighteous and cast to the everlasting lake of fire. I'll be eternally separated from Him because I chose to neglect the only offer that God has set forth before men to be a covering for my life, and that is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number seven, God will be glorified no matter what. Even the wrath of men glorify God. Every aspect of life, no matter how we look at it, God's going to receive the glory, and He does not share His glory with anyone. Things to remember from the book. One, God loves people, and all God's people said, amen. God loves people and demonstrated that. And if God would set forth and freely give and spare not His own Son and deliver Him up for us all, we've got to remember that He will also freely with Him give us all things. As Psalm 84 would say, God does not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. So God loves people. God uses people, those that want and don't want to be used by Him. Number three, our sins are either piling up or being cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Number four, God desires that all men repent. Number five, God uses circumstances in our life to bring Himself glory and ourselves good and to keep us on track with Him. Number six, we or you or I cannot hide from God. It is a useless effort. Number seven, running from God is useless, but can still be usable, as we see with Jonah. Number eight, running toward Him and His work is always profitable and beneficial, not only for us, but the people that He sends us to. Pity parties are from the devil. God will never make you feel sorry for yourself. That is not Him. The enemy longs for you to look inward and outward, but he does everything in his power to keep you from looking up unto Jesus. Number 10, God's message of compassion will go forth with or without our cooperation. Number 11, God wants us to know how important souls are to Him, and they should be to us as well. And number 12, you're headed down, down, down anytime and every time you're running from Him and His assignment. I pray these things have been a blessing to you as we've walked through the book of Jonah. There's much more that we could glean and pick up on, and I encourage you to dig in it and go tell the story. Go share what He's done and what He's helped you with, what He's taught you. And may you go forth and answer that last question. Shall God not pity those who will perish without Him? Well, He's going to use me to go help them see Him. God bless y'all. Talk with you soon.